So the book that we are talking about this year is called Love and Law by Ernest Holmes. And that they were a series of talks that Holmes gave to a group that he was trying to inspire to work together to change consciousness. And they have lots and lots of amazing thoughts and ideas in each chapter. So it's not like the talks that we're going to give are going to cover the chapters, because there's more than in the chapter than we could possibly share with you. So we have to pick and choose a little bit of what's in there that is most meaningful. So the chapter that I have this week is called The Power is in Your Word. And Holmes talks about the omnipresence of mind. And he said, don't think of it as in the mind is within me. Think of it as I exist within the mind. Because the mind is the wholeness. The mind is the oneness. It is not a part of who we are. We are a part of what it is. And the mind is governed by law. Law of attraction. What we give out returns to us. But what he addresses in this particular, at least in part of this particular chapter, is the idea of race consciousness or human consciousness, and the fact that we absorb all of these ideas around us, and we take in the fact that we can be sick, we can be poor, we can be in trouble, we can feel unloved. And that is a part of our thinking. And when it says the power is in your word, the word is your thoughts. The things that you think are going to outpicture in your life. But there is this subtle influence that goes on. Have you watched TV lately? It's like every other ad is for some drug for some terrible disease with a gazillion side effects. You know, that the energy of that is all around us. And so I had the opportunity this week to be challenged by the fact that here I am giving a talk on healing, basically. The chapter is mostly on healing. And here I did come down with a cold. And I thought, okay, I get to look at my thought about this week, what happened this week. Because what Holmes said, let me give you a couple of the quotes. Race consciousness operates on our human ignorance, and we are bound hand and foot by conditions until we learn to control our thought, because until then, thought controls us. So, I got caught up in it this week, and I looked at it, and I thought, okay, why did this hit me right now? What have I been thinking about? And I realized that something happened. It's not a big deal, but it made me anxious one day this week. And I went to the mall the next morning, and I ran into some friends of mine at the mall, and they told me this terrible story that had a really happy ending. But they took me through the trauma of the experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They didn't lead with the happy ending. They took me through every excruciating detail of the trauma and the fear and the tears and the horror before they got to the happy ending. And it really affected me, and I was trying to be supportive and to be loving to them, and I gave her a big hug and said, I'm so happy it all turned out all right, but I was sort of vibrating there, and I then attracted some other things that were like that because I was vibrating there. So I got to see this cascade of the worse it gets, the worse it gets, and confront the fact that, yeah, I'm responsible. And I have this great quote from the Greek Island cruise that I was on in October, where Abraham said, you got to dig in, decide that you're going to take control of the direction of your thought. Esther said to herself the other day, and she doesn't have it down yet, but she really meant what she said is, I can find satisfaction and I can maintain satisfaction. And I can also occasionally find dissatisfaction because life comes at you pretty fast sometimes. And so when she sees something that is dissatisfying, she said to herself, at least I'm not going to talk about it. I can notice it and I can take the emotional hit on it, but I don't have to talk about it. That's one of the reasons I went wrong. Because I had that experience and then I told somebody else about it. But I was with those friends yesterday and they were going to tell that story again and I checked out. I said, no, I'm not going to listen to that story again. It's not good for me. So sometimes, going on to talk about Esther, sometimes she does and sometimes she doesn't talk about it. Depends on how big it pushed her button. And because sometimes you have things you've been carrying around for a long time and something in your now activates that and off you go. It's not something wrong with you. It just means law of attraction is doing what it does and lining you up. That which like to itself is drawn. So when you see something you don't want and you've had thoughts about not wanting it before, those thoughts are relatively easy to activate within you. But when you realize that the way you feel in any moment in time is not really about what's happening out there, it's about what's happening in here. It's the mix of vibration I'm experiencing at the moment. And we want to say again and again and again, if you weren't really different than that, it would cause you no discomfort at all. If you were not pure love, you would not take vibrational issue with something that is hate. Your guidance system is so perfect all the time. It's perfect, you see. So we are getting these feelings, and I just realized that I had another thought that I had a feeling of vulnerability last week that I spoke out loud. And so I started that chain of causation, and I didn't change it. I didn't even really notice it until right now. So it's all about taking control of our thoughts. And as long as we're not noticing it, we're not going to do it. So it's about finding the way to notice it. And that's the important thing. Abraham said in Honolulu in 2005, "You look at yourself as flawed and in need of a cleaning. And we're looking at you as perfect and in need of awareness that you're perfect." That's one of the most powerful statements I think I've ever heard. Let me read it again. You are looking at yourself as flawed and in need of a cleaning. And we're looking at you as perfect and in need of awareness that you're perfect. Finding that perfection. I said that to my dentist on Thursday, along with all my other things. I got to be have a crown prep and get drilled on for a while, which is a stressful experience in and of itself. So I had that experience, and so I told him I was going to speak today, and he said, "What are you going to talk about?" And I told him that quote, and his eyes kind of crossed. He said, "I'm definitely going to be thinking about that all the way home, what that could possibly mean." It wasn't even remotely a part of his consciousness that could be true. And then, as always happens during these experiences when I'm getting ready to give a talk, I saw something wonderful on Facebook. It was a picture of a quarter moon draped on a couple of trees. Gorgeous picture of a quarter moon. And the moon, and the caption said, "And the moon said to me, 'My darling daughter, you do not have to be whole in order to shine.'" The quarter moon was able to shine. And then two of my friends chimed in, and the first one said, "Ah, but we are. We are whole." And the other one said, "Yes, but depending on the play of light, it's not always visible." So the wholeness always exists.
That's a good one.
And how awesome that it played out like that on Facebook, because the message to that I could relate to so powerfully is sometimes there's a quarter of me shining, and yet I am still the whole. And allowing more and more of the whole to shine is a very powerful thing. And that's what the meditation I want to do in the second half is about, is allowing the light to expand within us, the love to expand within us. So here we are, and I've written 4 books about called Chatting with the Beloved. 2 of them have been published. And so I always check my own books when I'm looking at a subject to see what has the Beloved got to say about this subject. And I was laughing like crazy. Hey, Gail! Don't put it up entirely because it's locking itself. Yeah. Just close it as much as you can, but leave it. Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Gail. Gail, this is Kaylee.
Hi, Gail.
Hello, Kaylee. Nice to meet you.
Wonderful to meet you.
So I was looking at my books to see what the Beloved had to say about healing, and I had to laugh because the 2 things that happened to me this week, I came down with a cold and I got a crown, I had talked to the Beloved about in the past. So I thought, well, that was cool. They gave me the opportunity to address what they would have to say about the situation that I was in this week. And on the first one, the title of the segment in my book is How Can I Be Happy When? And this is from one of the unpublished books. I said, my energy may be low, but I'm keeping my spirit high. And B said, that's a wonderful path you've chosen. We know that all is well with you. Your body is doing exactly what it needs to do to feel better and better. Your resting, relaxing, and staying positive creates the perfect climate for healing. And I said, and the moments when I get off track, B said, be kind to yourself. I said, it's not wrong to be sick. And they said, just darn uncomfortable at times. And I said, that's so true. Thank God someone invented Kleenex. And they said, for sure, loving yourself in this and in all things is the surest road to recovery. All is well. So that felt good. And Abraham says, love and worry are opposite vibrations. So if I'm loving myself through whatever is happening, rather than worrying about what's happening, then I am creating the climate for healing. If I'm worried, I'm creating the climate to get more earth to worry about. So if there's a motivation for shifting when you begin to see that that's happening. In Love and Law, the book that we're studying, Holmes said, health is. You do not have to make it. It is. You do have to allow it. And you do have to be at the frequency where it manifests. And so that's why I brought the map of human consciousness. Because this chart is a very powerful demonstration of where people live. Some people live at the very bottom in shame and guilt, and then they gather more energy and they go through anger and then they go into pride, and then finally they get to kind of a neutral space of acceptance and courage. And then they go through willingness into understanding, ultimately to love and joy and wholeness and bliss and oneness. And so the raising of vibration is described very powerfully on this map of human consciousness. And it's very similar to Abraham's list of emotions. Are you familiar with that? Do you know that one? They talk about the same things, the same consciousness. But I think of it as this map being the refrigerator door. And the Abraham list of emotions as being the magnet that moves up and down the refrigerator door. Because if you're in shame, anger feels blissful. If you're in bliss, anger feels horrible. If you're in love, understanding feels a little lower. If you're in willingness, understanding feels fabulous. So you see how that, all of those, we all have the same feelings, but what they apply to depends on the frequency we're living at in the moment. Now that was a lot. Was that fairly clear? Do you get what I'm saying? So you will always have the same emotional guidance system that Abraham's describing, but where it will kick in will depend on the frequency you're generally vibrating. And so I came to these things this morning. I always get up at 6 o'clock and rewrite the whole thing that I'm going to do. So the sentences that really spoke to me this morning when I decided to once again bring the map of human consciousness to study group for the 87th time in 17 years. These are the two sentences. My body is out picturing health at the frequency of my thoughts. And then, more general one, my life is out picturing blank at the frequency of my thoughts. So it could be love or relationships or money or prosperity or talent or work or whatever. My life is out picturing all of that at the frequency of my thoughts. And when I move up the map of consciousness, then I start feeling better and better and better and better and better more and more and more of the time because I'm taking control of my thoughts. So that felt very, very powerful. And then I came across this piece of one of my chats with the beloved. It's called The Highway, and there is no such thing as part of God. All of it is God. There is a oneness. And if you look at the map of human consciousness, the science of mind comes in at the level of reason. And when I entered science of mind, I came in at the level of reason. I really wanted to understand more about what God was and about how the law worked and how the universe worked and what I could do. And then, as I continued to study it, I came into the love part. And that's why this book is called Love and Law. And this particular chapter, the most powerful line in this chapter for me is, the soul which can love the greatest will be the best healer. The one who can love the most universally, the one who can take into consciousness the broadest concept. The universality of love is the broadest concept. And so, if you think about that, you can look up the map of human consciousness from mind and law, which is understanding and reason, and then into love, and then into bliss and joy, and ultimately to oneness, which is where Jesus and Buddha were vibrating. And so what New Thought is teaching us is the concept, the capacity to live at the ideal of oneness. Now, we're not there every day, and some days are way better than others. But if we keep having, the intention of raising our vibration to going the higher way, I mentioned in that I was on this road, and there was a street light here, but there was a ramp that went on to Fairfax County Parkway over here, and it had a sign, I don't know if it still does, I haven't been by there lately, but it said, the signal does not apply to this lane. So if you're going on the ramp, you don't have to stop at the red light. You can still go. And when we get in that soaring lane, a lot of the signals don't apply. It's a really different experience because we can flow with the energy of Source. And it's such a gift when we flow with the energy of Source. Now, one of the things that I picked up in this chapter was about race consciousness and messages from religions of our childhood. It's a powerful segment, and I'd be happy to hand it to anyone who would like to read that, and I'll send it to you if I don't have enough copies. But I don't really want to go there today. And I will send it out to everyone, I guess. Because it's maybe something you would enjoy. But this one feels more like when I'm at that place where I am losing it, what can I do? You know, when there's a stimulus that makes me want to shift downward, what can I do to make a difference? And, oh, I have a little friend here. Hello. You're very cute. Sorry. I love you. I don't want to kill you, but I will. Okay. This is called a hotbed of love. And I said, we had snow last night, and it's so pretty out there this morning. And they said, we love that you're focused on the beauty of the snow. And I said, earlier this morning, there were some people out on the street yelling at each other. They sounded really upset. It reminded me of the time I heard a lot of sirens, and you told me to send our love to the people involved. So I tried it. I just focused on the people in my mind's eye and poured your infinite love with my love all over them. I felt good doing it, and in moments, somebody driving by beeped their car horn and they stopped arguing. Did my sending our collective love into the situation make a difference? And B said, yes, love always makes a difference. You chose to love them rather than fear them or worry about them. Well done. You donned your filter of grace on purpose here. Now, that's a reference to another thing that I've written about the difference between the filter of grace and the filter of fear. So I could have been nervous about what was unfolding in my neighborhood, but instead, I chose the filter of grace. I chose to send love. B said, your neighborhood is a more loving place this morning because you flooded it with love. I said I didn't look into the details. I didn't want to see who it was or which house they came from. I didn't try to hear what they were saying. It didn't seem important. I just wanted to give them a big dollop of soothing love. Making that choice soothed me, too. B said, choosing love is soothing. Your heart loves doing what it is designed to do. I said, wow, that reminds me of something interesting. I worked for Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation briefly once. their studies show that if you have an aptitude for something, you have a need to use it. They identified 35 different aptitudes, from special abilities to musical talents, different capacities to perceive and think, different physical abilities like manual dexterities and tool dexterities. They even said there's at least 3 different kinds of memory that work independently of each other for words, numbers, and melodies. Thought that was fascinating. Anyway, their research showed that people were happiest if they chose careers that utilized their aptitudes, what we've been referring to as their constellation of gifts. I love that phrase. If they didn't, a restlessness developed within them. Those gifts want to be used. It's like you having that urge to play music that you put aside for a while you cared for your family, but then it reemerged as an impetus to move you in that direction when you were freed up. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am leaping here to the understanding that we all have a gift for loving that wants to be used as well. Makes me cry. We all have a gift for loving that wants to be used. And if we're not using that gift for loving, we have this restless urge to get out there and find something to love. And B said, I love it when you leap into a grand insight. That must be one of your gifts. And we laughed. And I said, now I have the image of me taking a flying leap into a big, sticky, warm vat of insight. And we laughed again. And B said, not so far from the truth. Insights do stick. They help retrain your brain because they allow you to see, feel, hear, know, and sense more clearly. So our insights stick with us. And they said, when you perceive differently, you think differently. When you think differently, you perceive differently. A new feedback loop is set up that amplifies your potential to change your mind, your thinking, and your life. So we think a little differently, we perceive something a little differently, which changes the way we think about it, and then we perceive differently again, and our vibration starts moving up that path of human consciousness. So that's enough for that, I think. Why are we thinking about letting our love flow? Because it's who we are. It is the intention of who we are. And the more we love, the better we feel. And the better we feel, the easier it is to feel healthy and connected and energetic and free. All of those things move together into the opportunity to have a life that is the fulfillment of that constellation of gifts. All of those gifts we have been given that want to express in our lives have the opportunity to come out. Whether you are gifted in parenting, or in playing music, or in having psychic ability and sharing your insights. Each of us have powerful things that are innate to us that want to be expressed. And ultimately, that's what this book is about. It's about freeing us from those limiting beliefs that have squelched us and allowing us to expand into that realization of the truth of who we are. And so it is a gift to be me. It is a gift to be you. Each of us are unique and amazing. And I had this wonderful quote about that. Where did I put that? Anyway, it's so true. We are wonderful and amazing. I don't need a quote. I will just say it. But here's where I want to end up, because I picked up the book called The Power of Perception by Marcus Bach again this week. I often refer to that book when I'm talking about changing frequencies and seeing things differently. And this is what he recommended. Sometime as an experiment, listen to your thoughts as you listen to music. Hear within yourself the symphony of impressions, the harmony of ideas, the melodies which in your moments of reflection you are inspired to create and express. We are too much with others and not enough with ourselves. We are drawn away from our true receptivity by too many extraneous sounds. Take time to listen to the thoughts within yourself, and when you go back in the crowd, your world will be less discordant and your life more perfectly attuned, especially to those who, like you, who have been receptive to their innermost thoughts. Who are you going to run into? And so that brings me, as I finish up, to the piece of Abraham that I was transcribing this morning from my chat with them on the cruise in October. And what I started out saying was, it is my intention to expand my capacity to perceive love, because love always is, but sometimes I perceive it and sometimes I don't. And Abraham, and then I proceeded to tell a story of encountering a woman in the grocery store who had a baby in a baby carriage. And I looked in and I saw that baby, and in that moment that baby glowed. It was the most beautiful baby I had ever seen in the entire world. And I put my hand on my heart and I turned and looked into his mother's eyes. And I said, "Oh, you must be so proud to be his mother." And she put her hand on her heart and she said, "Oh, I am." And in that moment I felt like the Grinch, because my heart grew three sizes. I just had this feeling that was so much bigger than anything I'd felt in my life. And I explained that to Abraham. And Abraham's response was really interesting. They said, basically, you are putting too much credit on them and not on yourself. Because if you weren't within that vibrational frequency, you would have run into somebody yelling at their kids in the grocery store. You would not have stepped into that quality of love that was in such alignment with your powerful intention to expand your capacity to feel love. And so with that strong intention and your focus on love, you rendezvoused with the perfect people in that moment. And that's what Marcus Bach is saying here. Take the time to listen to the thoughts within yourself, and when you go back into the crowd, your world will be less discordant and your life more perfectly attuned, especially to those who, like you, have been receptive to their innermost thought. So I encourage you to go forth and listen to yourself and listen to your inner being and listen to the truth and discern it everywhere you look, on Facebook and in the books you pick up and in the conversations that you're having, because the beauty is out there. It's everywhere. But we only encounter it when we're in that frequency of beauty. And it feels so much better than what I did this week with encountering over and over again reasons to feel anxious. But we get to make the choice and we get to make the shift. And man, since I made the shift on Friday, I have been feeling better and better and better and happier and more joyful and more myself. And that's all we can do. You know, we will have those moments when we just take the hit, but then we have to return to what we know to be true and move up the scale and allow ourselves to soar. Thank you.
Thank you.